Well, this is the last of my messages in the series, How to Avoid a Train Wreck, and I'm super excited. I don't know if all of you have got a chance to see, but there's an actual train wreck displayed up there on the altar, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Thank you. How to Avoid a Train Wreck, we've been talking about in what's going to be an election year, and there will be, of course, multiple elections within this year. And there's a big decision that's going to happen in the United Methodist Church. Again, not this United Methodist Church, but the global United Methodist Church. And there are people that have opinions on either sides. I don't know if you've ever seen this before in the realms of politics or religion, but it's true. People have opinions that sometimes are different. And the idea is, how do we avoid having a train wreck when we come to those conversations? How do we carry out our views with dignity? How do we handle disagreements with those that have opposing views? How do we display our Christian values in the midst of taking sides? And before I get into today's message, I'd like to say the following. Thank you. The advantage I have is that I came early and did a sweep of the church. So 2 weeks ago, and talking about train wrecks, 2 weeks ago I asked that you stop. That you stop touting your political view or your religious view as the most important thing, and remember in the midst of everything that's going on that Christ is the most important thing, and that there's a certain way that no matter what side you're on, that Christ asks us to act. And last week I encouraged you to look. Look at what God might be doing. You may be celebrating, you may be disappointed, you may like the way things are going or not like the way things are going, but look, God is constantly at work. And I want you to look for what he might be doing. And this week, I'm going to talk about the last step, and that is listen. You can't overstate the importance of listening. Something, as I've mentioned before, I know I need to improve on, but I think most people will acknowledge they can do a better job of. Listen is so important in avoiding a train wreck. If you're actually near a train tracks and you hear a whistle or you hear the sound of a train coming, like, you should not proceed, right? There's going to be something bad that happens if you proceed. You can listen and avoid a train wreck during difficult conversations or during tense times if you're willing to hear, perhaps, it's unimaginable, but just listen to what someone else might be saying. I have a tendency, I don't know about you, but I know I have a tendency sometimes to think, what on earth would possess a person to think that? Have you ever been there? It could be with your kids as you're raising them. It could be, again, with someone that holds different views from you. It could be a conversation comes up, you're like, why on earth, I mean, what under the sun would ever cause a person to hold that point of view? And it's not real often that I get there, but sometimes, like, the only appropriate response is, how? I think of things that really matter, like rooting for the Bears versus the Vikings. How on earth could anyone root for the Bears? What on this world would make you a Bears fan? Mitch Trubisky? I don't think so. Okay? But you come to these points where you're like, why on earth would they ever think that? What could possibly contort and twist their mind to feel that way? And here's what I want you to realize. When you feel that way about another person, odds are they're thinking the same thing about you. It's kind of funny, yes, especially again with the analogy I gave, how could Bears fans ever think that? But when you stop and you say, wait a minute, I'm thinking that person is so wrong, they stepped into the realm of wrong, purchased a whole bunch of wrong to bring along for the trip, and then drank all the wrong juice. And if you pause, they're thinking the same thing about you. Odds are you're just 180 degrees apart. How are you going to resolve that? You can just stand on your side and be like, okay, well, I'm right and they're wrong. I don't know how they got there, but they are. A lot of times, what we want to do doesn't help. Because what we want to do is shout at them all the more about how wrong they are. We want to make up a chart and a scale of wrongness and display that they are at the top of the chart to the furthest wrong side. A lot of times we want to take our views, open their mouths, and shove them down their throat to let them know how wrong they were. But that doesn't really get us anywhere, does it? See the political realm in today's world. Okay, that doesn't work too well, does it? So again, what I'm going to propose is that maybe if we want to get somewhere, not necessarily to change your view, not necessarily to win the other person over, but sometimes what would help, instead of just saying, all right, they're so wrong and they're so far away from me that they are the enemy, what might help is actually stopping to listen. And in the book of James, there's a book in our scripture. It was written by a fellow named James, and he was, as we understand it, Jesus' brother. And in the very first chapter of his book, James wrote some pretty interesting words. He said, everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to be angry. Huh. Did you ever wonder if those are related? If we are quick not to say our opinion? If we are quick not to judge another person? But if we were quick to listen and slow to speak, then maybe there would be a whole lot less anger. Maybe there would even be understanding. It's problematic when we don't do that. It's problematic when in conversation, a lot of times, we just want to be the one talking. Okay, it hurts when you're with someone else. Again, you can think of your spouse, you can think of your kids, you can think of your coworkers, when maybe it's you. By the way, maybe it's you. But maybe it's them and you're thinking, they talk all the time. All they do is talk. They're always talking. They're always talking. They're never listening. All they do is talk. Again, maybe they're thinking that about you. I don't know. Whichever way it goes. That's problematic. But when this happens in a realm where there's a lot of feelings and there's sides and there's a lot of tension surrounding it, it's more than problematic. It's dangerous. When we're quick to speak and quick to throw out our opinion and quick to judge and quick to tell other people the way it is, well, you're going to cause a train wreck. So I want you to hear this passage from Isaiah. And again, before I take you to this passage, I'm going to give you just a little context for it. I think it's got to be fun for you all when I whip a random passage out of the Bible and just start talking about it. So talk with me. What do you think about Scripture? No, okay. But I'm going to read to you from Isaiah chapter 1. And here's what was going on when we come to this reading of Isaiah. God had, to catch you up to speed on a lot of what was happening in the Old Testament, God had chosen a specific people, and he said, you're going to be a light to the others. You're going to be an example. I will be your God, you will be my people, and you are going to model my love to the rest of the world. And they're like, awesome, that sounds great. And of course, being people, don't judge, you do the same thing after time, you forget. Okay, so God's chosen people, the nation of Israel, they had actually started, this is fantastic, it's as far away as you can get from God's plan. You're going to be a light to the world. Like, yes, amen, you are God and we will proclaim you. And they got into a civil war. So there's that. So they separated and you've got one kingdom pitted against the other kingdom. And again, if you can imagine this, like just enter into a complete fantasy realm, they're fighting against each other. They're saying maybe bad things about each other. They're at war with each other. They're separated. And God's like, this is not quite what I had in mind, children. This is not where we were going. You were going to be a light to the other nations, and now you've divided yourself into two nations. They're having this incredible conflict, and that's where this passage from Isaiah comes in. They're still worshiping each of them, each nation, you know, that's now divided. They're still worshiping, but they're just like, oh, they're terrible. No, you're terrible. And in the midst of that, here's what God says through Isaiah. In fact, it starts, Isaiah 1 starts this way. The vision concerning the two kingdoms that Isaiah saw. Hear me, you heavens. Listen, earth. For the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up. They have rebelled against me. Even the ox knows its master and the donkey its own manager. But Israel does not know. My people don't understand. Woe to the sinful nation, a people whose guilt is great, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have turned away from the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him. Why should you be beaten anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured and your whole heart afflicted. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness. only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed. Your country is desolate. Your cities burn with fire. Your fields are being stripped by foreigners right in front of you. You are laid waste and overthrown by strangers. Daughter Zion is left like a shelter in a vineyard, like a hut in a cucumber field. You know how huts are in cucumber fields. Like a city under siege. Unless the Almighty had left us some survivors, we would have become desolate, like Sodom, waste, like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me? So God's saying, the enemy is coming in and having its way with you because you're divided. God's saying, you turned away from me and you're having problems and you wonder why. God's laying out to them, you're doing exactly the opposite of what I asked. Instead of being a light, you are fighting with each other. Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Think about that if they're posing these offerings to God like, we honor you, God. And God's saying, you're at conflict with your own people, my nation. Stop bringing me meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, get-togethers, I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals, I hate with all my being. Strong words from God, right? Why is God so upset? Because people can't get along with each other and they're failing to acknowledge him, which would unite them. They have become a burden to me. I'm weary of burying them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I'm not listening. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do what's right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless and plead the case of the widow. And then, if you got lost in all of that, clearly God's upset, but I want you to hear this. So, Isaiah chapter 1, the case is made. Listen to this verse. This is the character of God in the midst of this conflict. Please don't miss this. Come now, let's settle this matter quickly. But the translation that I like that is more true to the original wording says this, okay? Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Come now and let us reason together. God doesn't say, you know what? You're detestable to me with your worship and your offerings. You're fighting each other and the enemy is laid. I'm done. God doesn't do that. God doesn't say, if you sacrifice the other nation, then you'll win. So let's get that done and out of the way. Have a good, clean fight. Let's go. God doesn't even say, here's how it's going to be. And in fact, it's so going to be this way that I'm going to individually smite you because God is a mighty smiter. I'm going to individually smite you and it's not this way. Now I've drawn the line. Shh. No. God says, come and let us reason together. How are you going to reason with another person? How are you going to reason with God? Dear God, if I could be so bold, here's the way we'd like it. No. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. And though your sins are like scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. The character of God revealed in this passage is you are wrought with conflict. And the solution is not to bear arms and see who's the best or who can shout the loudest, but to have a time to sit down and reason together. And if the God of the universe can say to someone else or say a group of rebellious people, come now, let's settle this, let's reason together, then how much more should we be willing to listen to reason with people that hold different opinions from us? It's a simple point, because I am a simple man and I understand simple things, but God calls us to be people not that triumph and shout and display our banners as high as we can for what we think is right, but who actually love God by the way that we love other people. And so that means, first of all, we can't hate other people. And second of all, maybe in loving them, we're going to have to understand them, and that happens through listening. I love what this passage says about who our God is. Come, let us reason together. So how do you reason with someone, okay? Let's just try and put this into reality. You have one opinion and they have another, and they don't line up. How are you going to reason with them? Let me help you. This is not done on your angry Facebook posts, and I want to say that again because I know that happens. There's no value in that, right? So like, I believe this, and I can hide behind a computer screen and type what I believe in capital letters with exclamation points. What good does that do? There is zero sense in that. I got out my calculator, and I went in and saw a mathematics professor, and I carried the one, and there's zero sense in that. You don't do any good by tweeting or by posting on Facebook or by sticking on Instagram, whatever post declares, like, how amazing your beliefs are. Nobody is swayed by that. Okay? So first of all, stop it. Second of all, this doesn't happen when you yell at the idiots on TV. And believe me, if I were on TV, I'd be an idiot too, and you could yell at me all you want. But that doesn't change anything either. Oh, I can't stand watching him. Oh, I can't listen to him anymore. And, you know, the TV, like, they're going to respond, like, wait a minute. It appears that I'm being unreasonable. No, come on. Think of how foolish this is. You sit at home and you get worked up and you yell about how much you hate that, and then maybe you talk to your friend about how much you hate that. Oh, that's amazing. I mean, that makes a difference in the world, right? Big people when we do that. Listening means having the strength, having the confidence, having the willpower to find that person that really just puts you up against a grater and spreads you around like that, and having a conversation with them. It's not, all right, I recognize we don't have the same view. Here's my view. It's going up and talking with them. Like, get past it. Whether it's a religious view or a political view or an NFL view, although Bears fans, you're still wrong. It's just having the ability to approach them and to talk with them. See past the issue. Maybe even, heaven forbid, maybe even ask, how did you arrive at that view? Well, tell me what that means, because I only understand that it means it's not my view. So what about that makes sense to you? My goodness, to have a conversation, to reason it out with someone, that takes heart. That takes courage. And that shows an overwhelming amount of integrity. It shows the character of God when you're willing to do that. But too many times, I'm just going to say it again, we're not willing to do that. We get into that mode, like I mentioned at the beginning, of how in the world can they possibly think that that's right? Ah, good. I can't think of any ways, so they're just wrong. And that's where we stop. And whether it's done by the people I'm speaking to right here, or those that will listen online, or those that live in Dyer, or the region, or the United States, or around the world, that's what brings us to the point of conflict that we witness today. The inability to get together and listen and reason. And listen, see, I just said it, okay? If you do this, if you're listening to someone else, you don't have to be afraid. Like, they're not going to pull you to their side. Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader having a conversation. Well, you know, Darth, if you just take the helmet off, oh no, I've been lured into the dark side. It's not like that. Or what if you talk to them and you don't understand their side and it actually makes sense and you agree with them? What's lost? Redefending something terribly important that you let go of and now there's no one for that cause? When you sit down and you talk with someone and you listen, you get to know them better. You show there's no animosity. And like I said, you may even understand their point of view. At the end of the day, if you don't just disagree, shake hands and say, okay, hey, it was great talking to you. But you have won over at least common ground to talk to that person, rather than let them stay on the other side as the wrong and the idiot and someone that you hate. So here's the way I encourage you to remember this. I was trying to think, how do we keep this simple? Listening, somebody's going to be like, shh, I'm listening, and just sit in their home in silence. No, how can we do this practically, and how can you remember this? During this political season and during this time of contention in the United Methodist Church, be a student and not a critic. Okay? There are the simple steps. Be a student, not a critic. Be someone who's willing to ask. someone who's willing to engage, someone who might be willing to learn, and it's okay. I'm going to say this for the last time. It's okay to have a viewpoint. At the end of the day, you can hold that viewpoint. But be a student and not a critic. Don't just bash, and certainly don't find secret and cowardly backward ways to try and bash the other side. And don't just assume that they're inhumane and they're stupid and they're on the other side. Be a student. Listen. Try and learn something and not a critic. And I think that's going to get you far. So if you feel, if you're hearing me this morning, if you're not, please listen. If you're hearing me this morning and you feel like I don't need to learn anything, I don't need to understand the other side, I don't need to listen, well, one of a few things is true. Either A, you're God, because I believe God knows everything, and so if you know everything, congratulations, you're now God. You got a world of problems to solve. Or B, you're arrogant. And I'm sorry if that hurts you, but if you don't want to listen and you don't want to try and see the other side or at least find common ground, you're arrogant. If you want to be arrogant, by all means, proceed in what you're doing, because you're there. Or C, you're afraid. You're afraid that if you talk to someone else, you might actually start caring about them. If you talk with someone else, they might actually make sense. So you tell me, if you're not willing to engage someone else, like, are you God? And can I talk to you if so? Are you just arrogant? Come tell me how arrogant you are. Or are you afraid? It doesn't matter, by the way, if the person on the other side affords you the same respect. That's not up to you. Guess what? You don't get to control other people's actions. They may not know Jesus. They may not want to have anything to do with Jesus. But you're sitting here today thinking maybe there is something about this Jesus character. And if so, why don't you try and look like Jesus, and what they do is up to them? Be like, yeah, I'll listen, but they're not going to listen. Well, stop your whining and do what Jesus would have you do. And you might not walk away friends, and again, you might not walk away agreeing on everything, but they don't have to be the absolute epitome of evil and the enemy in your sight anymore. Everyone should be slow to speak and slow to anger and quick to listen. And I think as we go through this year and as we see things unfold and as votes are taken and lines are drawn and there are sides, the witness that we have to give to the world is that we were willing to love the other side through whatever means necessary, even hearing what they have to say. Before I close my sermon, I want to give you one illustration. Just kidding. Thank you. But the illustration that I have for you is, I'm all out of Nerf darts. All right. Would you pray with me? God, I do thank you so much that we have the liberty and the freedom to vote in this nation, that we have a democracy and we can make choices. God, I want to thank you that you've given us the ability to use our intellect and to choose and to decide where we stand on things. God, I want you to forgive us for the ways that we have demonized the other side. God, I want you to forgive us when we have failed to love your people, our brothers and sisters. God, I want you to forgive us when we have, at our worst, failed to look like you. Help us to listen. Help us to trust that you're at work and to see what you're doing. And help us to stop putting these votes, these decisions, these policies, these different beliefs over you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.